Hi, Dojo Disciples. Sean Orange here. What follows is our original recording for episode 69 for our Wii U Virtual Console topic. As you will hear, we encountered some technical difficulties early on during the recording, stemming from me being away from the usual Famicom Dojo recording station for this episode. We unfortunately only got audio from both Vink and me onto one audio track, so there's nothing that we can really do to separate and fix this, unfortunately. What is fortunate is when we do re-record this, we'll be able to include even more current events when discussing how Nintendo just seems to constantly miss the mark on what appears to us consumers to be really simple stuff. If you can call that fortunate. Regardless, here it is.
Anything, you know they've sold the game to that person and they will never ever reap any more money from it. That's not going to happen with anybody, you know.
Right Yeah, that's very good points to bring up. So yeah. I think this is a good time to also talk about the Wii U transfer stuff in general, because this is tied into it, and I think we talked about it before, but I don't remember.
We talked about it a little bit.
Okay, because we didn't
Wii U thing.
Yeah. We're trying not to do like a whole like Wii U episode, but this one's going to definitely be all Wii U all the time. So,
well, we're talking about retro gaming too, so I'll try to bring some of that stuff in.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's about you know, being able to play retro games on
Wii U. And I'd like to bring in a bit about the stuff for Europeans now.
Totally what? Hello.
Yeah, what? You can.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
sorry, I think there was a slight delay there.
I got some stuff on Famicom Dojo.
Yeah, it got caught up, but...
Yeah, right. The Excite Bike.
Okay.
Did you read messages?
Oh, no, definitely not. Especially on this computer.
What do you mean? No, I'm just talking to you.
Oh, yeah?
Is it?
Oh.
Okay. Sure, let's do that.
Sorry, I don't know if I'm recording the show now or not.
I guess I'll go first.
I didn't know if you jumped into recording to the show
Sean,
or not.
Sean, I got you some pretty good stuff from Famicom Dojo.
Oh,
yesterday.
Okay, because that's a good way to bring it in. Yeah.
Well, what are the Famicom Dojo? Right. Oh, us. Yeah, but I don't think I'd actually get some stuff just from us. So anyway, I got you your own copy of. Tobidase, what is it?
Okay.
Die Sucks Scent, yeah. Multiple. Yeah, right. Yeah.
We're talking about the actual storefront, of course,
like,
in Japan.
Like $7. So I picked that up for you, because I know in the video you had to use the American version, right? You used 3D World Runner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know the differences.
Die Sucks Scent, yeah.
The deluxe Famicom version of the game system in Japan and everything came with these glasses that were not. They were not. They were 3D glasses, but they, you know, they.
Wow.
Were,
all right. Thank you.
No, they weren't. They were like.
Yep. Yes.
Something else.
Ditto.
Yeah, something like that. So I'll send you the game and. Like I know we're talking about that it was worked with a 3D system, but I'm really not sure how
were
exactly.
Were they red blue?
But anyway, that's for you to try out, see if we can add anything to our information.
So kind of polarize something. I know, like, I think
yeah, that'll be good. Speaking
of
exciting, I got you Excite Bike.
Okay.
Well, I know you got the data recorder while you were at MagFest. So you've got, but that's not going to use the data recorder.
Sure.
So it'll sort. Yeah, it'll store right to the thing. So
that's pretty exciting.
I'm gonna get you that Excite Bike cart, and I saw a Wrecking Crew and that, a Mach
oh,
Rider.
Oh no!
Mach
I walked right into that one
or something. but I didn't pick those up because you've got
yes,
those. Yeah,
yes, and Excite Bike versus Excite Bike. Sorry. Right, because it's a disc system game, so
You know, I heard an interesting story from Hiro while I was at the show. Excitebike was a milestone game. It was the first game to cost over $30. Okay.
Well, both of those I have. Yeah,
$5.
Got those on. Actually, I think I have Wrecking Crew on cartridge released, and Famicom Disk System as it was, infamously cataloged
Nintendo
in our very
had pretty
first
much
episode.
Been having a standard pricing scheme that was, you know, about 30, 35, you know,
oh, yeah?
Like kind of a low price. But when Excitebike came out, it was selling for about twice that, actually.
Oh. How much did it cost you to pick it up?
So it was the first premium priced game. Now in Japan they do that with all kinds of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Like Final Fantasy games come out at over $100 here. But like, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But like lower, you know, lower.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like Nintendo titles are actually some of the cheaper titles in Japan, actually. Like Kirby's Epic Yarn, I think, came out like $45, something like that. But the thing is,
right.
Niche titles
God.
Can sometimes be the
most
expensive.
Yeah,
like games
the special
that have
editions
very
of games
low
in the States too, but you know, they also come out for the regular $60
price. They need to
price.
Make that money on launch day. But anyway, yeah, it's in America. It's what it was $50 for Wii games, pretty much across the board.
Interesting.
Square tried to put their like Square Enix tax on the DS titles, right?
Sure.
Like. DS games were like $30 each unless it was made by Square Enix, and then it was $40 or something. Something like that.
Interesting. And people will pay this, I assume.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we haven't seen really like a lot of range in the pricing now. Until the DS, right?
With
like the Wii U and stuff, it's moved to the consoles because the first party stuff still usually like around $50.
Interesting is,
and then
go ahead.
The third party stuff can be, you know, anything like the Sega All Star Racing or whatever it's called. It's like $40. Most games come out at $60, just like the current gen titles do.
It's good to learn.
Actually, aren't they last gen now? Technically.
70
something.
That's up
for debate.
Women. 80? I don't know. I don't know how old she is. Hiro's no spring chicken.
Well,
so.
I mean, yeah.
But.
No, I was going to change the subject.
What?
Go ahead. Keep going.
Chicken's a quality thing here. But anyway, she was telling me about when she remembered when the game came out. And I said, was it right. really expensive because it interfaced with the Famicom data recorder? And she's like, the what now who?
Poor Hiro. Have you ever heard you say that?
And then, yeah, no kidding. 70 or 80-year-old women, watch out. Binks in town. But then Hiro came back from walking his dog. And he came in and she asked him. She's like, "Was it expensive because of the what did you call it?" And I'm like, "Famicom data report."
Oh.
And he was like, "The what
you
now?"
Just,
who?
You just schooled her, man.
Now this is a guy who, like, you know, has a store called Famicom Dojin. Was like on the forefront of selling Famicom games. He looked at it. And he's like, "Oh, did that only come out in America?" And I'm like, "No, this is your thing." And he's like. And he's like, why would anybody buy that? He's like, how did it work? And I'm explaining to Hiro,
who owns a
store that specializes in Famicom retro games, how the data recorder worked. I'm like, you had to hit record on it when you were, you know, the menu, you go to save and you hit record. And he's like, oh, and to load, you hit play? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, that's so cool.
Oh, my God.
He's like, I really want one. And I'm like, yeah, I guess you have to go to America to find them. Yeah. Yeah.
I have one. You can buy one from Sean. Oh my goodness! Yeah, so like a shout out to Carlson of Mad Gear, who I bought that from at MAGFest, which I mentioned. Man, what order is this episode coming out? I assume this is after the MAGFest episode.
Anyway, but I got you a bunch of games. Alternative
Limit announcement at the end of this episode about
those guys. If you're keeping
Carlson
notes, those
and
are
I
hints.
Doing something from Midwest Gaming Classic, but we'll hints, get to that. So
but anyway.
Right on.
And I picked up
okay,
a copy
well,
of Kirby
I'm glad you taught Hero
Kirby's
something
Adventure.
About Famicom Dojo. I'm glad you
because
you have become
like, what's strange
the master.
Is like,
and
I've never,
the apprentice.
I don't. I've never actually owned it. Like I used to rent it when I was a kid or whatever, and I always see it there because it's always in the like this pile is $3 for $10 or something, or you know,
big hints.
It's not. It's a
hints.
Pretty common game. It's not. It's a well liked game. It sold very well,
not?
But for some reason it's you can pick it up not expensive. And I remember as I was buying it, I was like, I'm glad I have it right now in this cart, but I don't know for the couple bucks that I paid for it, maybe I should have picked it up on the Wii instead. Yeah, it's called Hoshino Kirby. Yeah. Was that one of the 30 yen titles? Oh, sorry, 30 cents or? Oh, then I totally got ripped off. I paid like $3 for
this. Yeah, because you know you mentioned was Kirby's Adventure called Hoshino Kirby in Japan or? Because that's one of the games that was announced for the Wii U Virtual Console of the Nintendo Direct video that came out. Well, as of this recording, last week. Yeah, I think it will be one of the 30 yen, 30 cent titles.
A lot of the downtown.
Right. Okay.
Series,
well. Okay.
The
see,
Kunio
that's interesting
princes,
because
you might know
my next question.
By
like, we're going around scrimping
Western
and saving and whatever,
off,
trying to get like the cartridges in the original form.
Nintendo
doesn't
City
make
Ransom?
Any money off of this, of course. But you know,
that's
we're willing to pay
series, and
like
also
$15
same
for
type of kind of blocky
whatever one of those games was, right? Or 30? There was some game that was $30. You told me, asked me if you wanted me to get.
Those are all part of like the Kunio-kun series of video games. Not all of them, but like I don't know, maybe half of them. The later ones.
Yeah. Oh,
and I got you one that's kind of like a track meet thing. I don't know. I haven't really played it very much myself, but it was like a $35 game, but I was willing to get it.
Okay, and those all use the third player.
I don't know. I'm going to Mandrake next weekend, so I might be able to get you some. If you don't mind if they're a bit scuffed up, I might be able to get you.
Well,
but like the stuff I get from Hero Shop, like that he has in his display case, it's like mint. It's really really nice, but like just for the show, we don't have to have like pristine carts. Like my
oh goodness, we should have gotten those in Tokyo
Kirby
in 2011.
Kirby
we were there.
This was owned by a Shota before me because he's written his name on it.
Oh, not at all. I mean,
yep.
Oh, sure, and worth the price.
Yeah.
Right. Even in HD. Oh my! Yeah, I've had those engraved in the actual plastic before, if not written on like the disc labels or the cart labels. So yeah, this is the kind of thing we go through to like find the original classics to do for the show. But you know, if you're just the average consumer, you don't necessarily
want to go through and buy
a Famicom and track down these games, you know, from
the
across the Atlantic because you don't have like Vink here to hook you up. So isn't it weird how people are complaining about having to pay $1? Or $1.50 to upgrade
Cheesemeister's tweet?
Their Wii titles.
Maybe
we should back up
a bit different,
first.
Though. Earthbound.
So, who all watched Nintendo Direct? Raise your hand. Me, yeah. You see, I didn't realize that the English version was going on. I just focused on the Japanese one, so. Yes, I was. Oh, yeah. So apologies to anyone who read that Famicom or that Powitz TV article.
What's amazing about those directs was
wasn't Earthbound thinking there was notable with that graphic.
Like, what was weird?
People thought it was like baiting of some kind. I was just like, well, you know, I know Mother 2 is coming out for this, demo program, and you know, Mother 2 is Earthbound in the U.S. And everyone's what?
Earthbound's coming to Virtual Console. I'm like, son of a, feed as well. So now, keep in mind that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get it without problems, because the original Xenoblade was first announced at E3, not in a video presentation, but like in the press kit.
So, yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is, they did show it, and I think it leads it to believe me to believe that they're going to actually try to go for it this year, because it seems maybe, you know, the Operation Rainfall, you know, maybe they're willing to make a few more concessions, especially since this is their first title.
And then, you know, most of what I know about Nintendo stuff from E3 was actually after Nintendo Directs. So what does that tell you?
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, so like the issue, I guess, is, you know, that there's all this great news we got, right? From all these fronts, you know, minus the Earthbound thing, of course. But then, you know, the thing that's really getting people hung up is are these Wii U Virtual Console titles.
That's weird.
Because people have wanted, you know, they ask all over Reddit and they email us and, you know, they're always asking, how do I play my Wii Virtual Console games once I transfer them to my Wii U on the gamepad and stuff? And the answer is, unfortunately, you can't, because it goes into this Wii mode where anything related to Wii U specific stuff,
like the GameCube,
the gamepad or the Pro Controller just won't function.
With the GameCube built into the original Wii, switched completely
we'll get into
over
that, but
that
there's
mode.
This whole technological issue, I bet, that's going on there. It was cheaper for Nintendo to do it this way, essentially.
Actually, I think I don't have an original PlayStation that had PlayStation 3 that had PlayStation compatibility built into it, but I think it was essentially the same problem. No, I think you actually could access saves right from the PlayStation.
Right. Exactly.
No, but like, if you had a GameCube, you could only save it to the GameCube cards. You couldn't save it to the Wii. Yeah.
Well, like, you know, you can manage GameCube saves from the Wii. You know, you just couldn't play games that way. You know, I think what everyone was Right. Because it was yes. You couldn't use any Wii features in the GameCube, right? But I mean, that's been, especially when you're doing hardware backwards compatibility, that's just kind of the way it is. You know, for instance, when we covered the Sega power base converter for the Genesis, it's the exact same thing. The only reason that works is because there's like Master System hardware on the Genesis boards. At least there is for the first and second models. And then it just turns into that system, essentially. And so, of course, it costs money to include that hardware on there. I'm guessing that that's the same case with the Wii and GameCube compatibility.
I mean, look at
DS and Game Boy Advance, and now Wii
PSN
U
is a little
Wii.
Untested right now.
And,
because
and so I think what people were expecting was, like, oh, I have all
the
software
on
my Wii
inside
of my Wii U, and they're just going to update with like a system patch, and I can play my Virtual Console games on the Wii U, but that's not what happened.
Yeah. Nothing at all. Yeah. Because well, that's had a great example, though. Whole like,
you know, the PS3 to PS2 compatibility. Right, they had the hardware emulation, which made things really easy and crisp and perfect.
They still had to keep
theoretically.
Something.
And then they went to software emulation, which made things slower and worse. And
technology.
I'm just going by anecdotes right now because I don't have any first-hand experience with this. And then, from what I understand, there's like no backwards compatibility at all anymore. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But that but that costs money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is the point where I like want to mention something about how like computers work, and that's that, you know, like PCs or Macs, or even to some degree, I guess, iOS devices. Those are all like general computers, like they're virtual machines. They're meant to run things that act like other things. Where video gaming hardware is incredibly specialized. Part of the reason why it's cheaper in some respects, but also another reason why you can't do all the same things you can do with something like a PC or a MacBook or whatever. iMac. I was like, what do they call the desktops these days? Power PCs? Oh my God, is it the 90s? Sorry. I'm showing my age there. But so that's why, you know, you had that problem with the PS2 emulation. You had to have kind of piece of hardware on there because a PS3 is specialized to run PS3 software. The two things kind of go together.
Up in arms
and so because the Wii
for all these
and the
other
Wii U thing is exactly the same.
iOS,
so now,
PSN, and I suppose
the solution Nintendo came
Xbox
up with,
Live now,
contrary to what everyone was expected,
you know,
was that they
account,
essentially have
an
eShop download, which relates in no way to what's stored on your Wii.
You know what I mean?
Whatsoever. It does not interface with it. Does not interact with it. No save files, no data, nothing.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the ability to re-download it for free.
Is it the exact same software
that goes
from machine to machine? Are we talking like if you got an iPhone... original iPhone, and then you can port your software to like an iPhone 5 eventually, like through other systems. Is that the kind of example you're talking about?
Yeah, iPad as well, but yeah.
But for the same platforms, right? That you bought it on originally. No? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, no, that's what I'm saying. They're all iPhones. Yeah, but there's like no drastic difference between the hardware specs is what I'm trying to say. They're all, like I said before, meant to be general purpose machines, and they might have better features, different hardware stuff that they can access, more memory. Higher pixel resolution display, but the software still has to be updated, and it can literally run.
Definitely, useful, but
like the old style software can run on the new
being able to
thing.
To
so maybe calling it a Wii U makes you think, it's the same hardware underneath, which in some cases is true.
I mean, and there even being the expectation that Nintendo would allow people to move their software with them to a new platform.
Sure.
It's if you look at the Nintendo of the past, it's a bit alarming. Nintendo has always burned bridges behind them. You know what I mean? With console systems. But Super Nintendo didn't play Nintendo games except with maybe some kind of weird third party. I don't think there is even a pirate adapter. Correct me if I'm wrong. I know that like the N64 could play Game Boy games with some kind of pirate.
Well, not
thing,
always.
But, you know,
the handhelds have been doing
for the
okay
most part,
from
Nintendo
the DSi onward.
Officially supported running older games on newer
Agreed.
Hardware until the Wii. Yeah. Well, they had Well, you know, the Wii is just two duct tapes. Oh, my Lord. Two duct tapes GameCubed together.
Oh, dear.
Man. Two GameCubes duct taped together. Oh, man. That's what our image for this.
Yes, as a console thing, yeah. And then they did it with hardware emulation.
But I mean, it was basically an overclocked GameCube, you know, with more memory and some additional, you know, RAM and things. And in a way, the Wii U is
How would I draw that?
Wii.
I don't know.
So, like,
someone try.
Basically, it's one, it's, you know, it's the processor line, you know, between, right. between, like, you know, the, can I, okay, this is right. gonna, this is gonna start a firestorm, but a Wii is kind of like a Retina Wii, I mean, a Wii U is kind of like a Retina Wii. Like, when they went from the iPhone 3 to the iPhone 4, they increased the resolution to an HD, they upped the RAM, they did, but, like, the core structure was pretty much the same.
Yeah. I mean, the big difference here is that both those systems could run off the same iOS, right? Like, you could previous older iPhone hardware can support up to, you know, some arbitrary number of versions into the future of the iOS, you know, operating system, which is what iOS means. And so it's essentially the same device. Like, they don't change the hardware so drastically. Like, you know, we hear that, you know, it's like a couple of souped up Wii's put together or whatever, but you know, there, I mean, I'm sure there are definitely more hardware changes, especially when you consider how the gamepad talks to the Wii U via Wi-Fi instead of like, you know, Bluetooth or other technologies like that. And there are more changes under the hood than that,
or
updates and processors, and they're definitely use different OSs. Like, that's the key here. People need to realize is that they don't run the same at all.
The PlayStation 3,
even though the hardware might be
a brand new architecture with Cell, you know. But for the Wii to Wii U, it's the same general thing that's been made to go faster.
That is pretty drastic. Yes.
Okay. That's the big thing. This the sense of entitlement is strange because, I mean, sorry, nothing.
Yeah.
I love everybody.
Well, I mean, I don't want to lose people who are just like, you know, angry. It's like, you know, $1 for game. Why? Ooh, what did you say?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of want to agree with you. I feel like this is largely a sense of entitlement, but there's a reason. You were saying it is unusual for Nintendo to even offer this, so for someone to expect it. But Nintendo has said that you will be able to play your Virtual Console games on your Wii U, and you can transfer your entire identity over to the new system, which is not what people wanted in the first place, and that has
Microsoft moved
all kinds
Xbox
of drawbacks and positives, mostly drawbacks, which we can talk about too if we have time, but that's going to be a subject of a video
You moved from Xbox to Xbox 360,
There's
right?
some positives, which is, well, this upgrade, quote-unquote, can be seen as one of them if you don't see those two steps back in the first place.
Yeah. Isn't that made by Microsoft in-house? I mean, Rare, but Microsoft Studio. Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah. So like, I bought a copy of Conker's Live and Reloaded, the remake of Conker's Bad Fur Day for N64. It was actually not supported yet on 360 by the time I bought it, and I didn't realize
it's not cel shaded. Now it's polygons, and I think it looks fine. But like there was, I need to see it in motion. I think is the thing.
I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, Rare had become a Microsoft studio. I'm not sure if Rare did the port or the update. It's like an HD refresh.
Zelda,
you know, like
Zelda,
the new Zelda Wind Waker. Oh my god, I can't wait.
When I first saw it in action, there was just so much emotion going on, and they were able to do so many things that I was so impressed.
That's true.
Like you know how when there's smoke coming off something, but it's like kind of opaque, cartoony smoke.
Yeah, yeah. I just love that effect,
and I hope that they can keep that feeling when they do the HD remake. And again, I'd have to see.
I didn't feel that way. I thought those people were whiners. You heard me.
But. So you got your Xbox 360. What percentage of games have yours worked on?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. We will. We got some time.
In that way. Moving the console generations.
Yes.
Nintendo's been fairly generous. You know, I actually didn't play any
360 games. I was largely playing Halo 2 on there.
Like, you know, the Game Boy Player and now that's shut down.
You literally can't get on Xbox Live for any original Xbox game, no matter what system you're using, even if you have a 360 and you're
there's
on
not,
Live
there aren't
for
any
that
games
stuff.
That you can't play. You might not be able to do all the features. Maybe some of the online stuff is screwed, and you're going to talk about that more. You're going to talk about that, but for the core, just playing a game, I'd say it's 99%. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But like even recently, like PlayStation, which has been kind of a bastion of a unified account. You know, if you have PSP to Vita, you have to rebuy your games. You know, because Vita doesn't have any kind of UMD drive.
Right, right. We're not like talking like Wii Mini level of nerfing here.
There was something. There was something in Japan or something that you could rebuy them at a discount.
Yeah.
We're talking about kind of the same thing, but the discount wasn't that extreme. Like. It was like, oh, you already bought this copy at full price. You can re-download it for $15.
Right.
Or $10.
Yeah, if you have the wasn't there some program where you could get a digital copy and you can't transfer those over to the Vita or something?
You know what I mean?
I don't own either system, so I have no idea what I'm talking about right now.
A lot of these older titles that Sony was offering the discount for could easily be acquired.
Okay,
for like
so we're talking
five
about kind of the same thing here.
So.
Okay.
Go for it.
Right. Yeah, and that's silly. This case is very different, and I don't feel like it's BS. Like for the vast majority of people, it's not, but it might be for some others. And can I explain why I feel that way? Okay. So it is a separate download. It is from the eShop. You have new features. You have the gamepad functionality. You have the Miiverse integration. You're able to map controllers. And I actually like capture video for this. So I got to buy the game all over again. He actually took a picture from his gamepad. So you can customize your gamepad. You can customize the Wii Pro controller, the classic controller hooked up to a Wiimote, and there's a horizontal and vertical orientation for the Wiimote itself, just by itself. So you can do all of those things. That's pretty cool. Those are all new features, not part of the original game. You do because it's actually a separate game. It's almost analogous, you know, even though it's software, it's almost analogous to like if they had like a re-release Super Nintendo of an NES game.
The actual game
that had some additional features, like otherwise an unchanged experience.
Perfect emulation,
and they charged
right?
you a dollar for the cartridge so if you went into the store and say, "Hey,
it's
I bought
be
this for my
exact
NES." That's
same
never
game,
happened before
right?
Nintendo's
what
history,
am I getting for
as far
my dollar?
As I know.
But I know you told. I know you told.
But a dollar. Yeah, but it's not just that. But a dollar. It's like. But I already own this game. It's on my Wii U. Why am I paying for it again? Okay. Can I try and explain that? Go ahead.
Could have not done this. Sure, they could have. Because I mean, yes, yeah. it probably took them. It definitely took them some work to get these set up. You know, but like the
those.
Well,
those features,
yeah, but I mean, the game itself is done, and once you do, and probably the first game to port took forever to do it to get this set up to do this. But once
could they,
once
though?
You've got
that's
the engine,
I'm
the base,
into.
And everything,
okay.
it's probably not going to require you know months and months of work to get each individual title working. You know,
some work.
I suppose.
Okay. Right.
All right. Okay.
Sure.
Yes. Yep.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yes.
That's the thing, right? We don't really know what effort it takes, and so I'm going to enter a whole world of speculation here, but I'm going to try and get my supporting evidence. I think what people expected was I have all these games on Virtual Console; they're in my system memory somewhere, even if they're like sandbox in this Wii thing. Yeah. I should be able to essentially import the code or the game or whatever from that layer into my Wii U, and I would have thought it's not an unreasonable expectation, but then kind of seeing how the eShop download worked for Balloon Fight, which is the only title available as of this recording, I think I know part of what the problem is, and it's the emulator itself. Like this isn't something like where you like install an emulator on your PC and like download a bunch of ROMs and then you run it through this one piece of software. I think what's happening is that at least in the case of the Wii U games, the emulator is built into the eShop download itself. And there's probably, if not a hardware reason, at least a software reason for that.
Like
and that's because I've had one system update, since the system came out. And unless they snuck in some kind of like underlying OS emulator for NES and Super NES games into the system, I didn't have to download anything else but the eShop game to play Balloon Fight. And it's like a 35 megabyte download, which I'm sure the game itself is not that big. Right. So if the Wii shop titles for Virtual Console were done in the same way where the emulator was actually built into each title.
I think they might have been baked in. That's a good question.
I'm not sure which is the harder thing to do, or if it was like part of the OS.
Some of these people probably know it a lot.
Because I don't know if like system updates were like paired with offering different kinds of Virtual Console games. Like when they added the arcade stuff, or when they added Neo Geo finally.
A dollar doesn't seem so bad.
You know, were there OS updates that were associated with that made it run that stuff, or was it just baked into the code there? I don't really know.
I don't have too many virtual title consoles. I could probably upgrade my entire library.
Yes, if you know the answer to that.
About $20. That's the problem. Yeah.
It doesn't seem so bad, but how many titles do you have, right? How much is that going to cost you if you wanted to upload your whole thing?
I mean, of course, these newer ones are going to have new, great features, but couldn't they just have thrown something into the OS that could
your
be like...
Your entire library, or just for the games that are supported, the NES and Super NES ones?
Because you switch over to Wii Mode,
nothing
really,
else is supported right
you're
now.
You're in
right
a whole
now.
Different console, aren't you? Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you are. So let's say I'm wrong. Let's say there aren't a lot of hardware or software issues related
now,
to releasing this stuff.
Here's where they could have done some kind of blanket import
for every console. They could have made the tweaks to make the stuff work with different console versions and gotten all the wonderful features.
I shouldn't have
given
to
you an
buy
OS update one time import of your stuff. Everything works. You're happy. And you're good now. Yeah, great. What about the publishers?
Convenience. Okay, shut up. Listen, you.
Okay.
Stop making valid points until I'm done making invalid ones. Okay.
And yet you bought the Wii Virtual Console games when you own
a lot
of these cartridges already.
iTunes Match. Are you familiar
with
this?
You didn't get any discount for it. Interesting. So if it's more convenient for you to go into the Wii U eShop download a game for $1,
it's not my pirated MP3s.
To go into the Wii mode,
I'm
not going
to
transfer my Wii to my Wii U.
And I've ripped CDs to my computer, but
I'm sorry.
But
go ahead.
I did not. Well, maybe a couple of them. I don't know. I've definitely lost a bunch.
Is this where you put your pirated MP3s into iTunes and you hope that Apple doesn't report
but anyway,
you for stealing?
So anyway.
Okay. So.
So what I did was crap!
Did you
I
sell the CDs afterwards?
Supported your point.
Okay.
Because iTunes Match costs $30.
Right. Oh, yeah. There's that
it's
too.
Blank.
Legitimate
well, it's blank.
Loss
it,
of
for
property.
A year. It pays for a year. But it
you
allows
know, if it's
you
legitimate
to
loss of property, here the iTunes is a whole way of shutting that thing
in
down.
The cloud and be able to download it on any device. The main reason I like it is because I don't have to store any music on my iPhone anymore. I can just.
Did you?
I pay for iTunes. Oh, crap. I just supported your point.
Yeah, but it's blanket. It's like per track.
It's
like a blanket.
It's a very
like you
small
always,
fee to be able to
work.
Use these things anywhere. But that's the same thing Nintendo is doing.
Just for a year? Interesting. Gotcha. Right. Okay.
You know, virtual console. I mean, I am not a programmer, if you do code, please let me know. But the virtual console,
well,
I know
well,
a lot
well,
of the
well,
stuff
no,
they
you,
have
you,
to
you,
license.
It's a blanket.
Stuff,
it's a blanket
like,
fee.
All
like, why can't
Nintendo
Nintendo just like
first party titles
$60? Let's say,
day
like
one.
The price of a new game. Why can't you import your entire collection that way? And it might just be because they can't
ridiculous.
Offer all the virtual console stuff right now.
I can understand
third-party
titles, maybe.
That could be.
Because Nintendo negotiated, say, with Konami to get Gradius, okay? Let's say Gradius is the game we're talking about. And they negotiated with them to be able to put it on the Wii Virtual Console. It may not their contract might not extend to the Wii U Virtual Console.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's a very good point.
I understand that
might
be a possibility. But their first party stuff, like it should all be there day one.
Right.
Yeah. I know.
Right.
I know. But I used to make so many excuses for Nintendo when
there are lots of things that we had hoped would be there day one for a lot of consoles. Let's say the 3DS.
And I think
a lot of features just didn't exist yet.
The games are not that expensive, and you can
this is software stuff. It's like maybe
it's
because Nintendo's really more geared towards making games than like don't do OS stuff. They don't do network setup. They don't have all like
the
resources of Microsoft to just do general purpose software.
They released you know, they release King of Fighters 94 first, always. No, actually, they release the first Fatal Fury, which is not a very good game. You know, they do these like test the water things, and then slowly over the course of 6 years, they begin to trickle out other titles. You know, and I know what it does is at first it would give like special spotlight attention to these good titles coming out, like when Super Mario 3 first came out, or was it Super Mario World? I don't remember one of them, but I remember it was a big deal.
Yeah.
That it came out. But like, at the same time, I'm like, I would have spent so much more money if everything would have been available day one. Because I stopped checking after a while. I just got bored with it. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, there are people who like really pay attention like every month, like what's coming out for Virtual Console this month, what's coming out for Virtual Console this month. And it's like something I wasn't that worried about. But anytime that I would bother to go in there, I would be really excited to see something new. Like when I had to refresh my Wii after I got it back from Nintendo and I lost all my data.
I was really excited to see a bunch of things I didn't realize were in the store because my Wii was dead for a number of months and I just hadn't used it for a number of years.
I didn't know was out there. It's like, oh, I want to buy this.
Do they have to do it again? Should I wait in case there's some Wii U virtual console thing that happens?
So I waited.
It was still missing a lot of new titles, but it was fairly robust.
Maybe we should definitely wait now, but it depends on which systems I'm looking for this stuff to get.
Just Balloon Fight? I know. It launches in spring, and these are like preview titles. But like, when it launches, is it going to have everything that the Wii Virtual Console one had? Like, how serious is Nintendo really about this? Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it's anything one of the seven by titles. Irem.
Anything by Irem, Donkey Kong Country 1, 2, and 3, a lot of other stuff. Yeah.
That's a great question. Well, there's kind of another part of this too, right? Which I don't recall if we mentioned during a previous podcast or not, but they delisted a whole bunch of virtual console games right before the Wii U launched. Yeah. So here's the weird thing, right? Like, if it was still in your download history, you can re-download it again, even though it's not available for purchase new.
Konami, which goes into
so that's good. But that also means if there was like a blanket import, then you know for whatever reason they delisted the item because like the contract licensing ended or whatever. All of a sudden, you have this whole new legal ramification of like, well, they took the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game off. Like, what if you could port that to your Wii U without having to like pay or even notify
it might. But when Nintendo's the publisher,
right, and you know, if that had happened, like what are the legal ramifications that like what royalties would Nintendo owe? Like it might not cost nothing, or it might cost almost nothing for Nintendo to like give that for free to his users, but what would it cost them in licensing fees if they don't charge something up front? So I'm wondering how much of this $1 fee just goes to paying the publishers. I hear ya.
What?
So, you know, I feel like they could have done it better, at least, you know, with the, you know, if they could do it all at once with the blanket fee, but they probably just don't want to wait to roll the feature out because they're going to lose people. And then there's all this talk of liability. Yeah. I have to think about numbers, right? How many Wii owners are going to get a Wii
U? Like your Miis?
That's one number. And then smaller subset of that, how many Wii U owners are going to transfer their Wii to their Wii U? I'm not going to do it. Even if it's going to cost me, I'm not going to do it. Well, it's not the upgrade fee that bothers me about this, actually. And maybe as time goes on, it'll bother me less, and I'll eventually do it anyway. But no, actually, no, the Mii's I can't move over. All right. I don't remember how much we talked about this, but I did recover some of those because they were on my controllers, on my actual Wii remotes, and some friends had them. If you move your stuff, this is one of the pros, you move your stuff over, you can import Mii's from your Mii Plaza in the Wii to the Wii U, like directly, right away. So that's a plus. Otherwise, they're trapped forever on your Wii, and you can't do anything about it. There are a few features that are gone. Like there are no more friend codes, so you can't friends out to other Wiis and do any kind of online connectivity that way. So I don't think you can play like Mario Kart online anymore through the Wii. I'm not sure because didn't that require like trading friend codes to like have friends in the system? What? You don't have friend codes anymore. You can't trade messages anymore. You know, all those features are gone. Wii Connect 24 is gone.
But like, if you wanted to play Mario Kart on the Wii,
so it's like I'm not sure where the online functionality works with those Wii stuff anymore, and I don't want to ruin it. On the other hand, I think that the Wii ecosystem is essentially collapsed anyway, and maybe it doesn't matter because,
so
mostly around the Mii's and the messaging and the friend stuff.
I guess, I suppose if you're a professional Mario Kart player,
because if it's related to the friend codes thing, and you can't do friend codes anymore, then I don't know what
it's like
replace that.
You know,
like I'm trying to think of I still have my Wii, but you know, once you transfer your identity over,
it doesn't
work anymore. You know,
that like
you still have a working Wii, but it's not the same Wii it was
gamer profile for a while.
When you started, essentially.
Like it's temporary. It's gonna go away. Like there will be no Wii playing Mario Kart community once Mario Kart Wii U comes out. It'll linger for a little while. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, and that's already happened in the case of like the Mii's and all that stuff. You know, my Mii parade doesn't work at all anymore because even though I still have all the friend codes from the people,
I had to find
like threads on message boards and enter them
Satan,
again.
You know?
But the problem is that a lot of those people either
have Wii
Connect 24 set up so that they can't see that I'm their friend now. Oh, they have to actually add their stuff into the system first
to
turn their Wii on,
codes,
which is probably a problem. And a lot of them don't even have theirs hooked up anymore. So even if I tell them, hey, you know, we should be Wii U friends or we should be Wii friends again, it's like they don't care. Right? Right. And people have even less reason to care now. So my only pluses left to me are that I can have the Wii U and the Wii going at the same time, which, you know, in the case of the Wii U, I use for a lot of non-gaming things like watching Netflix, Hulu, whatever else. Instead of doing actual gaming stuff with it. So
let's revisit this in
thing
a couple
that's
of years
left.
And see how you
and
see
I can
how
have
you
these upgrades, but I don't really care that much. I'll pay full price if I have to. Those features don't really matter that much to me. I'll fire up the Wii for as long as I feel stubborn about it. Partly because I did pay, you know, like $85 to get the thing fixed recently. I didn't feel like it was time to just transfer my stuff over so soon.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. So I guess in the meantime, if anyone wants to try out the Wii Virtual Console as of this recording again, Balloon Fight's out. They're going to release 6 more titles, not including Earthbound, unfortunately. For 30 cents each, you do this get to keep it forever. Yeah. It's not just a rental. You download the whole thing. It's on your system.
Here's,
you know,
I'm going to put on my flame proof pages suit right now and ask another
Wii
question.
Wii U menu
just,
style stuff
the
from
Wii
the Wii.
Seem a little
this
half-baked.
Is the thing they haven't really resolved from the Wii days. What happens when that fills up, especially
like
if you do import
it before,
all of
it was
your
really ready for
virtual
prime
console
time.
Titles? At least on the virtual console, you had the SD card and you had that separate menu that like went on as long as
I guess, but like
the internal
the
system
same
memory
happening.
Did.
Sales are terrible right now.
I don't know what happens in this case.
In Europe, it's selling less than 2,000 a week. Console sales.
How so?
No, they're terrible. They've fallen through the floor.
They did the same thing with the 3DS. I wasn't kind of expecting anything less, but they had a lot more things ready from the get-go this time.
It was trending about the same as the Wii for the first 3 weeks, and then it just bottomed out. It just collapsed.
Are we talking the attach
terrible.
Rates or the
so,
actual
like,
console
when
sales?
When I'm Nintendo, when
okay,
Nintendo
so like the console
Direct
sales
out,
aren't
got some
too
good
bad like in
good.
Japan right now.
To tell you the
but
truth,
not,
I think this Nintendo Direct was a bit
they?
Of a panic. Because Sony and Microsoft
I thought that those
could
were the attachment
be announcing
I was
their
looking
systems
at.
Any week now. You know, they've been hinting at it. You know, I mean, definitely they'll be on display at E3 and probably playable.
That's
but
really
Nintendo
bad.
Nintendo was kind of keeping their cards close to their chest, but they revealed everything. They're like, we got a new Smash Brothers coming out. We got a new Mario Kart. And here's some screens from stuff we have. We don't even have any screens from Bayonetta. We're going to show you some developers working on it. You know, they're like, Nintendo's like, oh my God, we got to show something. And then they're
that's
like,
true.
If
definitely
I was Nintendo,
this year, yeah.
I would be trying to get as many consoles into as many hands as possible. For the Wii transfer stuff, if I was Nintendo, I would say, you guys supported us by buying our console when there weren't a lot of games available for it at full price. For this year, this first year of Wii U's availability, any titles from Wii, that means that you are one of our prime customers. You are someone who bought Wii Virtual Console titles. You've had a Wii. You bought a Wii U early on. Here, this is free for you. Yeah. I know. Nintendo can't possibly lose. And I think that is... Now, I used the word entitlement before, and gamers are entitled, but
That's
kind
of the point
time,
I was getting to, right? It's like the vanished number of people who like have the Wii and the Wii U,
like,
transfer
okay.
their stuff over.
Thank you. Thank you for buying.
Actually care enough to download
console,
the games when they become available.
For the main reason
that number has to be so small.
This title will have.
That their financial liability, at least, is just minuscule. There is no good reason they should not do this.
They could have not done it that way. They might have. It might not have been a good business move for them to not do it that way. But it would have been a really like remember the like they already had that intensely failed 3DS, you know, launch, horrible. And we thought Nintendo learned their lesson, you know. And what they did was they did that ambassador program where you get a whole bunch of Game Boy games, which are still not available to buy on the 3DS. None of them. No Game Boy Advance games are available to buy for the 3DS. Who knows? Yeah, who knows with Nintendo? Sometimes Nintendo's just like, whoa, we're Nintendo. Let's do something. I'm holding a banana now. Okay.
Yep.
But the thing is, it's not an unreasonable
some of them
price
are,
to
aren't
pay
they?
If you have a small library of games. But if you've been the hardest of the hardcore
yeah,
fans,
okay, and
them,
that was part of the announcement,
of
too, is that they're
games,
coming to Wii U, so you know, I assume also 3DS at the same time. But that's not
library.
A safe assumption, necessarily.
You know, at a minimum, about $500, you know? Plus the cost of the Wii. plus the cost of the Wii U. We're talking.
Well, with that,
it just kind of stings when Nintendo says 100 more, please. Then you can use it on a feature that is the main feature that we're trying to sell with this system.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh goodness, I'm trying to figure out how many Virtual Console games it'll take at the size of Balloon Fight to fill up a Wii Basic here. Just give me a second.
I mean, I gotta say, like, some of that seems a bit like bloat to me.
Wow.
I mean,
so if you had a 35 megabyte download, and I don't remember if that was actual size or not, you could get 58 Virtual Console titles, and you're done.
Yeah.
On a basic Wii U. That's ridiculous. I mean, I know that those were a lot smaller on the Wii.
Now, you know,
it's all those features, right? It's the mapping, it's the save points.
So
it's the, yeah, that's another thing it has.
Is it the
save restore plus the auto restore.
Come out in.
You get both of those and the Miiverse functionality. So there's, like, all this stuff running in there. And, you know, they probably should have had some kind of system up there where they could, like, run the same code without having to copy it in every single version of the game. Or maybe they just don't care.
There's no reason for it.
They just expect you to buy a thumb drive. I don't know.
Okay, well, Balloon Fight is a really early game, but anyway,
yeah.
What? You could have a game. Have a game that went up to 128K or whatever. Or even, I think some of the latest last titles for it
that particular game,
like,
by itself won't
half a meg, maybe even a meg. You know, I mean, by that time, of course, there's no reason.
Yeah. I mean, imagine anything else, like an N64 game or whatever. That's
N64,
64 megabytes max, right? Or 128? Did it go up to? I think it was 128.
Biohazard 2.
Oh, those are megabits. Sorry.
And I think it was a 512 megabit.
I think it was like 32 megabytes.
Divided by 8. What are we at? Oh Lord, I don't know math. 64 megs, which is amazing that they put so much full motion video into that for, like, something that's less than one of our episodes is a YouTube stream.
Are we talking about the same thing?
But yeah,
I was talking about N64.
Hats off, Capcom. Hats off. But
okay.
Oh, go ahead.
That sounds right.
Oh, I was. So. Lots of stuff there. But what did you get? What did you like from the Nintendo Direct? We talked a lot. I mean, we've been going back and forth about this. But what excited you from that Nintendo Direct? No, 3DS was announced.
Oh goodness, technology! Gotta love it.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay. So news for you.
So we've actually recorded. So go ahead. I was actually going to try to wrap up the show.
Oh no. Nintendo's going to make a new Mario and a new Zelda? Who saw this coming?
Well, I mean, yeah. We all knew that Smash Bros. Was coming, but not to the 3DS necessarily, so that's kind of cool. Was it? Well, I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, news that they're working on a new Zelda isn't surprising.
Okay. For me,
But the Wind Waker HD thing is nice. It does confirm a lot of people's suspicions that they won't have like eShop versions of GameCube games so they can do this kind of thing and charge us more money for it, which I'm fine with. because I have my GameCube. I have my Wii. I have two different ways of playing those games if I really want to. You know, in 480p, I'm fine.
He was like, wow.
Although it would be really nice if they just had the Dolphin emulator.
Can they do that?
Knock it up to 720, but whatever.
He's like, don't you fight Jesus in one of those games? You know? Mixed with a Nintendo franchise, and I'm like, I think it's more like the
later
games.
That's a big deal.
We're a little less controversial.
Yep. Big deal.
But yeah, it is a bit of a strange crossover, but I'm excited about it. And yeah, oh man, that. Do you feel like Iwata trolled us? The conference was what, like an hour and 10 minutes or whatever. It was like an entire hour of. Sorry, nothing's coming. Sorry.
Wow.
Things will come later. Sorry. Please wait. Nothing in January. Oh, February, nothing. From March, we have something. Not many things. Sorry. We'll have updates to the system, but they'll be coming in different parts. The first one is in spring. Sorry. The one you actually care about is coming in summer. Sorry. You know, it was like damage control Nintendo, you know?
Yeah.
And then like everyone's expectations are really low, and then he's like, we're going to show you one last thing. Zelda! Oh, and one other last thing. This cross game and one other last thing. Like in the last 10 minutes it's like announcement, 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 things you haven't seen before. It was like, huh? Yeah. I guess. But I was like, oh, Nintendo screwed us again. And then the last 10 minutes, I'm like, yeah! Nintendo! Yep. And I really want a Wii U right now. I do. I criticize it because I love it. Because I want
those last 10 minutes were pretty amazing.
You know?
It made me pay attention because I was trying to write up like these articles as furiously and quickly as I could.
Like,
but I don't think it was trolling.
Xenoblade,
I think it's just being Japanese.
I wanted the game so much, and that's why I was so incredibly upset with Nintendo about it. You know, like it wasn't like Nintendo had like come and like let the air out of my tires.
Oh,
it was that they made
goodness.
This amazing thing,
yeah.
But didn't let me have it. And like I feel that's the same way with the virtual console sometimes. They have all these amazing legacy games. Let me give you money for
them.
Totally. Because the problem is if you don't allow people to give you money for them, eventually people who want to play them will play them and you won't get any money.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. Earthbound.
our website itself. And Zune.
That sounds like a good segue into our next episode, which was actually recorded before this one. Oh dear. So
yep.
Yeah, if you guys had anything on Nintendo Direct that you thought was pretty awesome, let us know in the show notes. Call us at 608-492-1923. Talk to us on Twitter, Famicom Dojo, Facebook, Famicom Dojo.
Keep light kicking.
Was there anything else I'm missing? I feel like I'm always forgetting one important thing.
More on later.
Oh yeah, famicomdojo.tv where you can watch our videos that are coming out. I swear, there's more of them. No, God. We have some videos going up and should be up by now for MAGFest. We talked more about the data recorder there. Show that off a little bit. There should be by now. Yes, the light kicking. Oh, my God. Keep light kicking. It's brilliant. That should go on a shirt. For something. What thing could that be?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, what else? What else do we have going on? So many things. We're really trying to get a lot out as quality as quickly as possible as well. And we also wanted to check out our further notes on the Nintendo Direct,
the
news about like the Miiverse stuff coming to social media. They got like I wrote a couple of PowTV articles for those, so go read that stuff. Buy these virtual console games. Well, I guess only Balloon Fight's out, but you know, buy a Wii U. Actually, I want one thing from people. We mentioned it a little off topic.
I think Nintendo in conjunction with the 3DS. Like
do you think that the inevitable really did come next-gen out announcement at the same is price as the Wii U? The Wii U looks so bad in comparison.
Sell, you know, give the Razer
that they will
a way
be forced
blades,
to cut their price at least a bit, you know, to help bolster sales that are already slipping, but also to compete with these other newer consoles coming out. And then,
but anyway,
right.
If they do get
right,
it
and
out
then
at
they
a
do
very
some kind of similar
point.
Ambassador
like,
program and do like kind of what you're suggesting with the virtual console titles.
Nintendo
and then
price
those next gen systems
can't
fail
possibly
anyway.
Do anything
like
as drastic as the ambassador program,
do you think?
Or
is the console market more resilient
down like mad because no one will ever trust an original Nintendo price and no one will ever pay launch price anymore? Because one time is a we screwed up. We'll try to make it up to you. The second
I'm still waiting for the theory to come true
what?
That they're going to subsidize the console.
For me,
somehow.
I haven't bought a Wii U yet. yeah. You hear that, Nintendo? You drop. Why can't you use a Japanese keyboard on an American Wii U? Is that a riddle?
Oh yeah, that's absolutely
it
true.
It was nailed to the chicken. All right, that's a good stopping point, I think.
So we'll see. Yeah, by then, maybe I'll buy a Japanese one if that happens. I don't know. Doubtful. Nintendo, why can't I use a Japanese keyboard on an American Wii U? No, it's an actual question. Good night, everybody.
Famicom Dojo.